Welcome to the Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail.
This season, we're shaking things up with shorter weekly episodes to fit your busy schedule.
Each month, we dive into SPINS data, explore trends with industry leaders, spotlight emerging brands, and share actionable strategies to help you thrive.
Get ready to explore the world of natural food retail.
Hey, folks, and welcome to the Buyer's Desk. I am Chris Sorensen, your host for today's episode. And this October, we're turning our attention to private label. And we're not talking about those bottom shelf budget fillers. We're talking about mission aligned, margin dollar driving, and value delivering brands. These are the kind of products that independent retailers can own and elevate. And I'm joined by someone to help us unpack why private label isn't just important, but urgent. And he's someone who brings the fire every time this topic comes up. Kelly Miles is a decades-long natural foods veteran. He's Infra's manager of member success, and he's one of the sharpest minds when it comes to pricing strategy, purchasing programs, and the role that indie retailers play in shaping a better food system. He's worked on both the NCG and Infra sides of the retailer world. He's led programs that bridge values with velocity, and most importantly, he's passionate about ensuring Infra members don't just survive the current retail storm, but lead. So today, I'm asking the big questions, the kind that put Kelly hopefully on his soapbox and give us all something to think about as we gear up for this holiday season. So Kelly, quite the intro. I'm a fan, right?
Yes.
And you're one of my favorite coworkers.
Thank you. We
collaborate all the time. I just had to give you some love for your first episode here at the Buyer's Desk. So thanks for joining me.
Yes, I feel the love. Thank you for having me, Chris. It's an honor to be on the podcast for the first time. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I hope we can really dig into some private label stuff, because I know that this is something that you get pretty fired up. You know, we have the channel here at Infra where we talk about industry insights, and you're posting a lot about private label and, you know, how we could be looking at things and doing things better. But I want to know, like, why now? Why is private label more important now for Infra members than it ever has been? And what makes this moment so critical? And what happens if we don't step up?
Wow. Big set of questions there.
Right off the bat. I ain't softballing you, man.
No, I appreciate it. I think it's important because of the opportunity in front of us. We've got some exciting things going on, both through our partnership with Cadia and the launch of our own exclusive brand here in Q3. We're a little bit late to the game, right? By no fault of our own, as independent retailers, we haven't had much opportunity in the space of private label. And now we really do in these two big important ways. I think it's also important because shoppers are looking for value, right? And not just saving money anymore, but value in saving money, but also value in a product that they can believe in. And I think, yeah, with both our partnership with Cadia and the launch of our exclusive brand, The Good Collective, we're going to be able to provide that value.
And what are you seeing? Like, because I know that you look at a lot at consumer insights and you see what other retailers are doing. I'm guessing part of the why now question, like you said, we're a little late to the table. What are you seeing out there? What are some of the trends? What are some of the things you're seeing with other retailers that is having you, you know, work with your team out in the field with our members on this important topic?
Yeah, well, I think when you look at private label, sort of the landscape of it, it was $271 billion, I think, last year. And it makes me wonder how much of that $271 billion was organic and natural products, right? The products that our retailers really support and want to sell and want to provide to their shoppers. We've got, you know, Simple Truth out there, I think is about a $3 billion brand, started about 12 years ago. The O Organics brand from Safeway Albertsons, that started in 2005. It's about $1 billion with a B brand. Not a huge piece of that 271 billion, right? But big in terms of its scope and when you compare to Infra and knowing that our, you know, entire representative retail sales is about $3 billion. So about the same as Kroger's Simple Truth brand. And, you know, the private label products that folks are gravitating towards, you know, probably the staples, they want to save money on those things that they buy all the time and that most households buy. But the best folks, I guess the more innovative folks in the space of private label are starting to lean heavily into organic and natural, right? And that's our domain. So, you know, us being able to have a private label, I guess, suite of products that's both a good value to our shoppers and also supports those things that we believe in, like organic agriculture, is really important.
No, I agree. Yeah, it's especially, like you said, the having the organic options for that, because that's what we do, right? So like you said, when we have these bigger retailers that come out with private labels that are trying to do what we're doing at a, you know, a lower price point, that's kind of undermining some of the work that we do. And I know you talk about big V, small V value, and we can get into that conversation. But I think where I really want to get into is really talking about price image, right, is a big thing. We talk about on the independent side and on the co-op side is everyone thinks my local independent, the co-op, they're just more expensive, right? So we use this to try to shift price perception into a positive price perception. But why do you feel like, you know, whether an independent retailer is using a private label or an EDLP program or not, why do you think they're getting it wrong right now? And how can they leverage the programs we have? And even, you know, like some of the folks out there doing their own, how can they use that strategy and make it actually work?
Yeah, a great question. And I think we're lucky in that a lot of our retailers are doing it right. A lot of our retailers have embraced our everyday EDLP program through our partnership with Cadia. They're going forth with, you know, a value priced option in the organic space on all those pantry staples that people are buying every shopping trip. And that's afforded them the opportunity to shape a more positive price image with shoppers. You're right. Food co-ops and independent stores have always historically had a very high price image. And to shape a better price perception with shoppers, you've got to be able to help them shop and do a full shop at your store. I think you've heard me before say, you know, $12 is not the price of peanut butter. If I'm a Skippy eater and I come into the independent natural products retailer for the first time and all that's on the shelf is $12 peanut butter, I'm going to get sticker shock and walk away and probably think I can't afford to shop here for my family. But if you can get them an entry-level price point, you know, with the $5, $6, $7 peanut butter, that's a little bit closer to that Skippy price, is organic and healthier for their family, and tastes great, you know, you're going to win over that shopper based on the price and the taste. Then you can, I guess, trade them up to other good and important things in the scope of natural and organic. But definitely want to make sure that when folks come in the store, they think and know that they can afford to shop there. And yeah, give them that price point, that entry point that's going to meet their budget.
So one thing I think about too with price and with a private label and to get to that price point, and oftentimes you have to sacrifice margin percentage, and a retailer can feel all kinds of feelings about losing margin percentage, but this is a margin dollars game. And I think our retailers, you know, Cameron Cox is one that I've talked to at Cox Farms Market that he's like, man, this is a margin dollar game. This is a volume game, you know? So what do you say to the retailers that maybe don't get that are really looking at preserving that margin percentage? How do you work with a retailer to get them to see, you know, the light that you know, Cox Farms sees?
Sure. Well, it's that old, you know, fast nickels turned faster than slow dimes argument. You know, back to the price image question, there's only so many, I guess, tools that our retailers have in our toolbox to help shape a more positive price image. Promotions, of course, is a big one. When we've got things on promotion and we can win with price for that limited time, if we're effective with our advertising, we can compete and win on that price while those products are on promotion. But with the, you know, the household staples that the folks are coming in to buy every week, you've got to, you know, make an investment, take a lower margin, have a price point that's going to resonate with shoppers and have them pick up that peanut butter or that can of beans or the pasta or whatever, stick it in the cart. The reason is really just to stay competitive, to stay in the game. We can always differentiate in other parts of the store, you know, and we can speak to the big V values of the things that are important to us, like local products and fair trade and organic. But understanding where to be competitive and where to sometimes win on price with those EDLP private label products, I think is really important. And then elsewhere, you know, we can make up some of that margin on some of the unique things that, you know, are only available at our stores or some of the fresh departments and things that are really the strength of a lot of our retailers.
Yeah, no, I think that's what maybe people can get hyper-focused in on that one product line or that one margin percentage of that item and not see what it's actually doing for your whole store, right? And that's, people need to have a holistic picture of what is this doing to capture that shopper, to keep people in your stores. The one thing you said though about even, you know, using the other brands or, you know, some of the unique stuff to kind of capture some of that other margin, I always think about that growing tension, you know, between private label and the new emerging brands, because that for us, differentiation and, you know, being, you know, having all the new exciting items, being on trend and having the local unique stuff, that's what really sets us apart and differentiates us. So how do you think retailers can walk that line? And why do you think it matters so much to really have a good blend or a good balance with this?
Yeah, the blend is important. You've got a finite space in your store and sort of an ever shrinking amount of real estate at the shelf. And it matters, I think, for a couple of reasons. One is just choice and just variety. You know, I think we, in terms of product innovation and just having fun and exciting options on the shelf, it would be pretty sad if our only options were private label, although there are some exciting ones out there. But we also want to, you know, make sure we're, you know, allocating some shelf space to new and emerging brands and even the legacy, you know, natural product brands that helped us build our industry for another big reason, in addition to choice, and that's money. You know, at the end of the day, I'm not a hardcore capitalist. I'm more of a cooperative capitalist, but my job is to help our retailers get as much of their shoppers' weekly grocery spend as possible. And, you know, as the co-op, it's up to us to make sure that our new and emerging brands and legacy brands continue to invest in the co-op and invest in our natural products retailers. And I think it was Errol Schweitzer a few months ago in the checkout, he spoke to this, the enormous amount of trade spend that's out there. You know, natural, all CPG companies are investing billions of dollars with retailers, big and small, to get their products out in front of the shoppers. And, you know, saying no to that investment to only allocate space to private label, that's a pretty big choice. And I'm not sure that would be the right one for Infra or our retailers. But what I think does make sense for Infra and for our partners is, well, I think investing in Infra makes sense for our partners. Investing in Infra not only makes sense for brands, but it makes them dollars too. Ba-dum-bum. And bad puns aside, I think if you're an emerging and natural brand, you know, trying to sell into Walmart or Kroger or Albertsons or Whole Foods, you're not just competing against other natural and organic brands. You're not just competing against their natural private label. You're competing against all the conventional brands, all the conventional private label. Not a lot of shelf space out there for you, but I think there's room on the shelf at Infra stores for natural and organic companies that want to invest in independent, locally owned grocers. And we're happy to have you when you do.
Yeah, no, I think that's it's that holistic approach, right? How are we trying to, you know, deliver a shopping experience, you know, to our shoppers as well, right? One thing kind of in that kind of thought of shopping experience, you know, you and I have talked, you know, a little bit about this, but I know that this is something you definitely dove into with other folks here at Infra, is kind of the different private label models. And you've talked about it, and maybe I'm quoting you right, is the extractive private model, which is kind of more like Trader Joe's, but a more generative approach, which is maybe more like New Seasons out in your side, neck of the woods there in Portland. Where do you see Infra and Cadia landing on the spectrum? And how do you think members should be thinking and talking about like private label and EDLP and, you know, talked about it with their shoppers?
Sure. Yeah, that's an interesting dichotomy there, the generative versus extractive. I think, you know, when I think about extractive approach to private labels, it's maybe the bigger corporate retailers that are, you know, investing in private label just to extract as much profit as possible from those products. I'm sure they would probably argue they're trying to extract some shopper loyalty too, which is important. But I don't think it's as much about, you know, building a better world or improving things for people on the planet. It's mostly just for the profit, as opposed to some other retailers' approaches to private label. You mentioned New Seasons, their partner brand, and now I think it's New Coast Foraging brand. It's really about sort of investing in local and regional producers and kind of helping highlight them and the quality of their products by literally putting it on the label. Like, I know where each of the things that I buy at New Seasons came from. The Mexican restaurant that made the tortilla chips down in Salem, the Italian restaurant that made the fresh pasta on the west side of Portland there. It's really kind of a unique approach to private label and I think more generative in that it's, you know, investing in these local and regional businesses. And I think helping support more of that, you know, triple bottom line approach to people, planet, and profit, as opposed to just, you know, the profit P. I think, you know, KE's generous investment in Kadia is generative. You know, they're investing in a controlled label that's for neighborhood grocers. It's sold in, you know, I think 85% of our infra retailers, and they're having quite a lot of success with it. So that investment in us is an investment in our shoppers, and I think it's working out for everyone so far.
Yeah. And one thing I think about too, as you were talking and bringing up the new seasons private label doesn't necessarily always mean EDLP.
Mm, yeah.
Correct, right? Like yeah. Private label can exist in the good, in the better, and in the best, right? And so that's why our everyday program is called, you know, Everyday for Everyday Low Price, because it's a private label approach with this affordability, this EDLP approach, this entry level, but still having values. But how do you see private label entering the market, or like even at independent stores across the good, better, and best? And how do you think shoppers might even relate to that, or will shoppers get that, you know, at an independent store?
Yeah. And do we even need them to? I say that because I think we just had a presentation from one of our interns, Maggie, on private label and the growth and proliferation of it. And the fact that she mentioned a lot of shoppers and consumers don't know they're even buying private label. If you go to Walmart and buy Better Goods, or you go to Target and buy Good & Gather Chef Collab, you might not even know that it's, you know, Target's brand or the Whole Foods brand. I don't think if you go to New Seasons and you buy the New Coast Foraging Company, you necessarily know that that's New Seasons and their parent company's brand. But what they do know is that those sort of higher tier private label options are more towards the better and best end of the spectrum, whether it's taste or quality or, you know, sustainability. I think you're absolutely right. The next evolution of private labels is not just sort of the product range at the traditional sort of bottom end of the value, you know, priced end of the spectrum, but what other types of value can you provide to shoppers through your private label, and where do those fit into that better and best spectrum? And that's why I'm super excited about our Good Collective launch, our exclusive brand here at Infra, because it is meant, as I understand it, to meet that better part of the spectrum. It is about a competitive price, but it's also about, you know, extremely good quality.
Yeah. So Kelly, after kind of talking through all of these different topics, part of me has me thinking, like, you know, what's holding us back, or what's holding Infra members back, or stopping stores from going like all in on either, you know, Infra's, you know, everyday, you know, private label approach, or a store doing something like New Seasons with private label? And maybe what's your call to action for any store still treating private label like an afterthought instead of a growth strategy?
Oh, wow. That's a big, big, important question. I'd be curious to know what feedback I get about this answer I'm about to give. But, you know, I think we're newly fond of saying here at Infra, the independent doesn't mean alone, right? We're working together as a virtual chain of independents to make the world a better place and invest in the things that are important to our retailers. I think sometimes the reluctance from our group is just that there's sort of a sameness with private label. Maybe there's maybe a reluctance to accept that at the end of the day, we're natural products retailers, and those products that used to be our exclusive domain, they're available everywhere now, right? Including the internet. And it's just more and more competitive. And if we want to, you know, not only survive, but thrive in the changing grocery landscape, we've got to effectively embrace the tools that we have to compete. And as I mentioned before, you know, promotions are one way where we can compete for a limited time when we've got that best price in town, or a close to the best price in town. And our private label partnership through, or our controlled label partnership with KE and the Kadia brand, our everyday program is another, I think, very effective place for us to compete and win on price on those pantry staples that shoppers are buying all the time. And then you combine that, right, with our new exclusive brand, the Good Collective. And we've got, you know, another option on the shelf that, again, is about a competitive price, but also higher quality. And it's an exclusive thing to Infra retailers. So I guess my call to action would be that I would invite any Infra retailer that's out there, if you haven't joined the Infra program, as more than 300 of our members have, I would say please think about it and talk to your Infra business advisor or promotions and merchandising advisory specialist about signing up. Katie is now our number one brand at Infra. I don't know that most of our retailers would realize that, but it's like somewhere around $25 million a year, which I think is just incredible for a group of our size. And I'd also embrace you, or I'd ask that our retailers embrace the launch of our first exclusive brand, The Good Collective, a brand that is made exclusively for Infra members by Infra, and it's controlled by your co-op.
I love that. That's a great call to action. So Kelly, the last thing, no more questions other than to, is there anything that when I asked you to be on the podcast and talk about private label, is there anything we haven't covered or anything you want to talk about or any burning thing inside you that you need to get out about private label that you think our listeners need to hear about?
No, I think I was just honored and a little bit intimidated to join. You've had quite a lot of distinguished guests here, so I'm honored to be among them. No, I think, as I mentioned, we've got two great options in the realm of private label: our controlled label partnership with Cadia and their Everyday program, this awesome and exciting launch of The Good Collective. And I'm excited to see how that goes and how we can, you know, expand into different parts of the exclusivity business and continue to give all of our retailer shoppers great reasons to shop our stores every week.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think the more ways that we can help as the cooperative to keep shoppers not just staying in the stores, but bringing in new shoppers, right?
And sure,
you know, increasing shopper count, increasing basket count, you know, increasing profitability of the independents, because ultimately that keeping dollars like that in our communities is a huge part of a thriving community, right? And so, yeah, I think, again, like we talked about, taking that holistic approach, like, yeah, there's these programs that are doing these things, but ultimately it's helping, you know, these independents thrive within their communities and helping their shoppers survive, right? And hopefully thrive too. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking private label. I really appreciate it. Yeah, thanks again. I appreciate it.
Happy to be here. Thanks for asking me, and hope to be back some other time soon.
Excellent.
Thanks, Chris.
Drinking just hit an all-time low in the U.S., and millions of consumers are seeking out better options. Hi, I'm Scout Brisson, the CEO of Dessois, a line of non-alcoholic cocktails co-founded by Katy Perry and the award-winning distiller Morgan McLaughlin. Non-alc is one of the fastest-growing movements in beverage. Consumers are looking for the ritual of a cocktail without the alcohol, and they're actively seeking out premium options on shelf. That's where Dessois comes in. These aren't seltzers or your sad sugary mocktail. They're true cocktail replacements that are layered, complex, and crafted by an award-winning distiller. Every sip really delivers the nose, flavor, and finish of a cocktail, but without the booze. And they're functional too, infused with natural adaptogens like reishi mushroom and lion's mane for that buzz without the booze, a relaxed social feeling minus the hangover. With Dessois, your customers don't have to compromise on taste or ritual. Feel free to check us out at drinkdessois.com. That's drinkdessois.com.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible Infra staff, contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible.
Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Chris Sorensen, co-host and producer.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spins segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislow, outreach manager and segment contributor.